Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. My name is Ray Serebrin, and I am the host of the Midlife Crisis Dance Party radio program on KPTZ in Port Townsend. The following is one of our story time segments that we present each week. I hope you enjoy it.
Ah, you're just in time for a story.
When the sky is dark and the moon aglow and the morning star burning from afar enters into view.
Yes, that's our theme song for story time on the Midlife Crisis Dance Party, my friends. And today's story is entitled Gigging at the Gig, Firkrest Style. It's a bit of a longer story. It'll require a little bit more of your patience, my dear listeners. So if you have listened to the show before, you may have heard me refer to a musical group that I used to manage in the 1960s when I was a band manager. The band was named The Juggernaut, and I have told you a story or two about them before, and today I intend to tell you another. This story is about the strangest, most unlikely musical concert I have ever attended or will ever attend. And how do I know that nothing will top that one? Well, I'm going to tell you right now. The Juggernaut lived and performed in Seattle, Washington during the late 1960s and briefly during the early 1970s. Their music, the music of this band, was unique. It was very hard to categorize. It was a blend of rhythm and blues and jazz and rock and roll. The members of the band were very accomplished musicians, and all of their compositions were original. But since the music was hard to classify, it was difficult for me as the manager of the band to secure opportunities for the band to perform. This was the pre-grunge Seattle days, and most of the music venues were either dance clubs or taverns or jazz clubs, and there weren't many of those. And add to that the fact that the members of the group liked being hard to categorize, and they liked being musical rebels, and they seemed willing to go penniless rather than to compromise their musical principles by, say, playing a few dance tunes, which they were very capable of doing in order to get a job. Did I say it was hard being their manager? That said, I adored and was mesmerized by their music, and I would have been happy to listen to it night and day. So anyway, paying musical gigs were hard to come by. There was, however, one regular source of work for bands like ours, and that was trust fund performances funded by the Musical Performance Trust Fund of the Seattle Musicians Union. This fund, at least it used to, pays local musicians scale wages to give free performances as a public service, and they do that for audiences throughout the city of Seattle. And the Juggernaut took every opportunity to play as many trust fund gigs as they could, mostly because they couldn't get any others. The money was about enough to buy everybody in the band's extended family one raw egg a month, but it was something, and it was an opportunity to perform for folks who usually couldn't afford to hire a live band. So we usually perform for nonprofits or in free park concerts. But there was one venue that was especially meaningful to us, and that was the Firkrest School for the Developmentally Disabled, which was located on a sprawling former naval facility just north of the Seattle city limits in the Shoreline neighborhood. Firkrest was a residential program for adults who had disabilities that left them unable to live in the outside world. There were people who had severely compromised bodies and minds. Some folks' bodies were twisted head to toe into strange forms. Many were severely autistic. Most of them had brain damage. There were tiny 3-foot people, and there were people who were exceedingly tall. There were also people with normal-sized bodies who had issues with the size of their heads. there were microcephalic people who had very small heads, and there were macrocephalics whose heads were so large they needed to sit in a wheelchair with a special device to support the weight of their craniums. There were folks with a variety of palsies. There were ladies who were voluble and bounced around uncontrollably. Some of them were excessively flirtatious, and they seemed to have no boundaries whatsoever. There were men who looked entirely normal, except they had no facial affect. These gentlemen seemed to be walking through their lives in a trance. There were residents who could not talk and who could only gesture. Some who would reach out to us and some who could only try. Some who seemed paralyzed or physically frozen, and some who seemed paralyzed only until the music started. I describe the residents of Firkrest not to titillate or to sensationalize the experience of visiting there, but merely to give you an idea of what a different world it was, and to reinforce the fact that you met and saw people there who you did not see in daily life. I can honestly say that the residents who were communicative were uniformly delightful and welcoming, and they seemed to be in a setting of care. Now, the Juggernaut Band did have a small but faithful following of ordinary people. But if there was one audience that you could always count on for being entirely enthusiastic and rapturous and completely swept up in the music, it was these very developmentally disabled folks at Firkrest School. And since they loved the music so much, were so enthusiastic about it, our group played their best for that audience. I often thought a Live at Firkrest album would be the group's best shot at capturing how well they could really play. For when the music started, almost everybody of all shapes and sizes and conditions leaped into wild and abandoned dancing, and we in the band entourage danced with everybody we could, and we got pretty wild ourselves, and we were just kind of drowning in this blissful craziness of the whole thing. The night I'm going to tell you about stands out in my memory because it was the night we broke the stranglehold of the Firkrest Riot Squad. It was a nice summer evening as we packed up the equipment, and then our car and van caravan left the house, heading out to Shoreline. Our arrival at Firkrest was routine. Those residents who were able to met us in the parking lot as we unloaded the equipment. The residents of all shapes and sizes and behaviors were already excited that there was going to be a dance that night, and they eagerly offered to help us carry the speakers and the amplifiers and the instruments. So we unloaded everything and we started to set up. During past performances at Firkrest, we had been regularly irritated at the staff because they were adamant that there needed to be distance between we, the visitors, and the residents. So they had us set up with our backs to the wall, and they patrolled the room in white uniforms like South African police, gently but firmly driving back any resident who wanted to get close to any of us civilians. I'm sure they were worried that the frenzied hysteria that the music engendered might cause some sort of disturbance, and I get that. And every time we visited, we were ultimately able to break through that barrier, and by the end of the evening, we all ended up, visitors and patients, and dancing together and having a good time. But it always felt like there were these riot police in the room, waiting to move in to quell the ecstatic frenzy. And why was this night different from all other nights? On this night, we decided to break the grip of the white-shirted, uniformed guards set up to protect us. And so we set up the band, not against the wall, but in the round, right in the middle of the dance floor. The white shirts protested mightily, but we would not relent. We were going to be right in the middle of the mad dancing and the maniacal yelling and the conniptions and the convulsions and the crazed delirium we were about to create. And so, to the consternation of the staff, that's what we did. We set up right in the middle of the room. And then the music, Live at Firkrest, began. And what always happened, happened again. Feverished, frenzied, totally abandoned, hysterical dancing, shouts of enthusiasm, a free-for-all of delirious lunacy, and fun, fun, fun for all of us. It was the best night we had ever had there, and we left feeling gratified about how much the only audience who really loved us enjoyed themselves. If the whole world was only full of people who didn't fit in the world, the Juggernaut would have been a great, big, big success. But you know what they say. Castles made of sand fall in the sea eventually. I'm Ray Serebrin, and that was Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. We invite you to tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. for more frivolity, absurdity, and melody. Thanks so much for listening.